Okay, so again, L'chaim, the Divrei Torah Lili Nishmas.
Zev ben Shmuel.
Zev ben Shmuel. The Shem Shavaliyah Mechal Chai L'chaim. Parshas Miketz is almost always, it's very rare that isn't. It's almost always Shabbos Parshas Chaniyav that comes out during Hanukkah. And there are a lot of unsubtle hints to Hanukkah throughout the Parsha. Already at the very beginning, Paro's dream. There's something interesting to observe, but I'll let that sit with you over the weekend. You know, there's something different about the good dreams, the good side of the dreams versus the bad side of the dreams. Right? You know, it says by the good cows, they're Vatirena Ba'ochu, right? It must have been a cow like this one. The good ones. They were grazing together. They're grazing together. It doesn't say that by the bad cows. Now, by the good stalks of wheat, if you take a look, it says, Sheva shibolim olot bekane echad. They all rose from one stalk. So can you imagine what that looked like?
Yeah, maybe like a little bit, but it's like spreading out.
Seven stalks. The menorah! There you go, right. There you go. Right. Yeah. Right. So it's just, there are a lot of remazim, there's a lot to say, but I don't want to talk about that tonight. What I do want to talk about tonight is to give you maybe meaning of what's been puzzling you all week long. You've been hearing the laning, the Chanukah Sanesim that there was originally in the Midbar. So, they brought these very specific gifts. Each one brought the same thing. So let's unpack that a little bit and understand what it has to do with us in our day and the struggle of Hanukkah. We're reading, the Chanukah Sanesim must somehow be relevant to the Chag of Hanukkah that we're in right now. But before I do that, I do want to raise a question. And there we go. The miracle was done through the Chashmonaim, right? Who were the Kohanim, right? As we may Matzubel Kohen Gadol, and as we say in Haneras Halalu, which is actually quite ancient. Haneras Halalu that we say after 900 is in the Maseches Sofrim. It's that old. It's a Ayedei Kohanecha Kedoshim B'chol Shemaras Yimei Chanukah. Right? So now, did the Nes of Chanukah happened somewhere between the time of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan and Yoshua ben Parakh and Nitai Har Bailey, somewhere between these two Sanhedrins. These guys should have led the revolt. It was a spiritual revolt. The Talmidei Chachamim should have been the ones, seemingly, that would be, now we have no doubt that the Talmidei Chachamim, the sincere ones, were behind the Chashmonaim. But the Chashmonaim weren't the biggest Talmidei Chachamim of the generation. Matzisyahu was not the Gadol Ador, he was the Kohen Gadol. Right? He wasn't the Gadol Ador. Right? He wasn't the head of the Sanhedrin. No slouch, I'm sure. And not only that, initially when they were getting reorganized, but before they had the Sanhedrin properly reassembled, we find a few places, Beis Din Chashmonai instituted some anti-assimilation laws, that we shouldn't eat pas akum and things like that, and shemen akum, so they for sure, they took control of the situation when things were in disarray, right? But you'd wonder, shouldn't the Gedolei Hador been the leaders of this spiritual struggle? It kind of went to the Kohanim. Everyone followed them. And that's something that is very interesting to note. And this is a little bit more glaring. We just finished teaching online the Maharal Sefer on Hanukkah, the Ner Mitzvah. And he says something very interesting that I want to unpack. He says, the Yevonim, nichnasu lahechol. We find throughout Shas, kishin nichnasu Yevonim lahechol. They took over the Hechol. So the Maharal points out that Hechol is Gematria 65. Yavon is Gematria 66. So it explains how they're able to overtake the Hechol. A higher numerical value would imply a certain power, that they could conquer the Hechol. But says the Maharal, that the word Heichal, you know, it's spelled Hey Yud Chaf Lamed and 65, but you don't really need that Yud that you see, you know, in the spelling, because there's a Tzereg, these two dots under the Hey, Hey, which also would pronounce the word Heichal. So it says the Marlach, it comes out that there's two Yuds there, the one that's obviously written in the scroll whenever we write out Heichal, right? And then there's the hidden Yud, which is the phonetic Yud of the Tzere under the Hey, as in Hey, Heichal. So there's a hidden ten, which refers to, says the Maral, the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which the Yevonim never reached, right? It seemed to be off the spectrum of things that they could see. It's that holy. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is solely removed. They reached the Heichal. They didn't reach the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's the secret of this Pach HaShemen, Munach B'chosamo Shel Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is the guy who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right, so this Pach HaShemen, they were oblivious to it, even though it was in the Heichal. It was in the Heichal where they were. Right, they were oblivious to it because it took from that secret Kedusha. You know, the letter Yud represents Kedusha in every place, because that's why Minyan, 10, you could say Dvorim Sheb Kedusha. So he says to Maral like this, very single thing. So Kohen is Gematria 75, right? Which means Heichal, 65, plus the hidden Yud, 75. The Kohanim were the ones that were able to awaken the hidden Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim that spreads within the Heichal. And he adds cryptically, when the Kohanim serve in the Heichal, they're not just in the three dimensions that the eye can see, they're also in the spiritual dimensions of the Heichal, which has power on loan from the beyond, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So let's bear that in mind as we're getting into why it had to be done with Kohanim. So with that question in mind that we still have to clarify, I'd like to read you what Rashi says about what the Nesi'im brought every single day. He says, I just have to find it over here. Here. He brings to Yisrosh of Moshe Dayan Matzatzi. You know, there was a darshan that Rashi copied from, you know, Moshe Darshan. He says, I found in his book, his writings were called Yisodosh of Moshe Darshan. Right, I found as follows. So he's unpacking from Moshe Darshan on what the individual presence that each Nasi brought, right, they all brought the same thing. So it was Karas Kesef, right? They brought a plate of silver. Min also of Gematria Toftuf Kaflamid, right? So now Karas Kesef, the Gematria is 930. Keneged Shnosof Shal Adam Rishon, right? Representing the amount of years that Adam Rishon lived. So what? Shoshimu Mea Mishkola, right, it weighed 130. Al Shem Shemid Odos Lakimo and Ben Meav Shoshim Shana Haya. Right, because when Adam finally had kids that endured, we're talking about Shes, right? Right, he was 130 years old. Right, Shemar Baruch Adam Shoshim Mashav El Bitmuso Tzami gave begat in his own image. Right, so now Mizrak Echad Kesef. So now the words Mizrak Echad Kesef, whatever that silver item is. Begamacha Tafkufchaf, that is in Gamacha 520. Al Shem Noach Shibit told us Ben Tafkuf Shana, because Noach was 500 years old when he had kids. Like, we don't care how long Noach lived, we don't care about Adam Rishon. But Noach was 500 years old when he had Shem Chom and Yafes. Al Shem Eshim Shana Shigzu Xeris Amabu Kodam Todosav, but and then the extra 20 goes that 20 years prior. Not plus 20, but rather take off 20, go back in time 20 years prior to his being 500. That's when the Gzera of the Mabul happened. Of course, who decreed the Mabul then? Like I say, you know, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, I explained that, you know, Hashem says, I'm finished with man. He has 120 years. That was the Gzera of the Mabul, that the Mabul would happen 120 years later, which was, you know, 20 years prior to Noach. Prior to 20 years prior to Noach having kids, right? The Mabul was when Noach was 600 years old. Okay.
Noach was 500 when he
had kids. So you got time. Yeah, you know, that's right. Don't worry about it. What?
They were triplets?
I can't tell if they were triplets or not. You know, but they were born in rapid succession. Right? And that's why Mizrok Echad Kesef and not Mizrok Kesef Echad, right? You know, to add the word Echad to the Gematria, right? Then it was Shivim Shekel, Shakosh Kenegad Shivim Umos Shiyotsu Mibonov, and that's why Shivim Shekel is connected to the 70 nations that came out of Noah. Kafachas, right? So now, you know, one spoon, Kenegad Atoshin Miyar Shakosh, that's referring to the Torah that was given from the hand. Kaf also means like the palm of the hand, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asarzov, it was 10 gold, Kenegad Aser Sadibros, that's parallel to Aser Sadibros. Malaya Ketoris, it was full of Ketoris. Gematria Ketoris Taryag. You know, the Gematria of Ketoris is Taryag, as referring to the Targ Mitzvahs. Uvach Tachliv Kuf Bedal, but it's only if you exchange the Kuf of Ketoris for a Dalid. Aide Atbash Gardak, you know, the system of, you know, Atbash Gardak. All right. And then Parachot, Kenegad Avram, Shevra Kach Ben Bakar, so the one bull is Kenegad Avram Avinu that took, you know, the bull. That he shechted when he, you know, had the three malachim as his guests in Parshas Vayera. Ayel Echad, you know, and the one ram is Kenegad Yitzchak HaSayel, because, you know, Yitzchak Avinu in his stead was sacrificed in Ayel after Akedas Yitzchak. Keves Echad, right? You know, and there is one sheep, Kenegad Yaakov Vahashvatim, Vahashvatim for Yaakov, right? The one sheep is Yaakov, as, you know, one indicator is, you know, by Lavan, you know, he separated his sheep that he would take for himself, right? And now, Seir Izim, right? And they shechted now a goat, Lechatas, Lechaper al Mechiras Yosef, Shenev Esobar Seir Izim, right, to, you know, atonement for the sin of Mechiras Yosef. There's another crossover, because we always read, we always have Hanukkah during the Parshas of Mechiras Yosef, and indeed, by that original Hanukkah, they had to also, you know, bring a Korban Chatas to be Mechapra Mechiras Yosef. Is another connection between the Parshas that we're reading and Hanukkah. So now it's, you know, for the Shlom, they brought two Bakar, that's Kenegad Moshe and Aaron. Elim Atudim Kvasim, you know, they brought, you know, five Elim, five Atudim, five Kvasim. Shoshim Kenegad Karnavim Yisraelim, Kenegad Tarnavim Muksuvim, Shoshim Kenegad Chavish Chavushay Torah, Chamesh Adiz Chulim Luchad, Chavish Chulim Maluch Hasheni. So the three types of Kenegad Karnavim Yisraelim, and they were all five, or Kenegad Tarnavim Ksuvim, and five of each, you know, the five dibros in one luach, the five dibros in the second luach, and the chamisha chumshei Torah. All right. So now the whole second half, we're going to say it's all Jewishy stuff, you know. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, you know, Torah, you know, and that type of stuff. And, you know, that's apropos, you know, for a Jewish event like, you know, Chanukah Sa Mishkan, you know. But the whole first half, you know, of what the first few gifts, how long Adam lived, how old he was when he had kids, right? How old Noah was when he had kids, and that 20 years prior to that was the Gzera of the Mabul, and all the 70 nations that came out of it. Kids. What is that doing, right? You know, we're proud that the Mishkan is now dwelling amongst us, right? And we're commemorating all this, what for us is all prehistoric. Right before Avram Avinu, our history starts from Avram Avinu. You know, and why is this here? Why? And then the truth is, we also have to ask, you know, another question. You know, Mechiras Yosef. You know, bad thing. You know, it's a really bad thing. Right? There's other bad stuff that we did, like Chet HaEgel, that we also did prior to the building of the Mishkan. Right? Well, we didn't bring something for Kapor for Chet HaEgel. We're hung up on Mechiras Yosef, right? Which is actually the parts that we're reading, right? And that all needs to be unpacked, right? But before we get there, we have to lay down two introductions, right? So first of all, something very interesting. The term, you know, Chanukah, Chinuch, right? All right, and so, you know, to inaugurate. is that unrelated to what we call chinuch, as in, you know, what we pay all that tuition for, right? Unrelated, just like, you know, it just sounds the same, but no inherent connection. So listen to what Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha. On Vayorek es Chanichov, he alerted his, those who he educated. So Rashi says something very, very fundamental, that the on this Rashi, the famous Klemer's comment of Pierre Setzner, the Warsaw Ghetto Rebbe, the one who wrote Tehovah Satamidim, his whole long essay at the beginning of his book is all based on this Rashi. Right? The this is when he's going to rally an army to liberate Lot from stone. So it says as follows. Barakas Chanichav Ilei, so like he alerted, his those who he educated. Says Rashi. Chanichav. Shechidecho son of mitzvahs, because he educated them to do mitzvahs. And says Rashi, Vu lashon hatzchalas knisas adam oklei leumnus shuasilamba, the beginning of the entry of a person or a vessel to its station in life that it is destined for, the initial entry into something's destiny. The umnus shuasilamud ba, its function or its art that it's destined to stand in. And he says, v'chein chanoch lenar. This is also chanoch lenar. Chanukas hamizbeach. Also, as in Parshas Noso. This is different than limud. Right? And indeed, to be mechanech a person in Torah, says Rashi, same root as the word Chanukas HaMizbeach. The beginning of something to enter, to begin on its destiny. Right? Embarking on your destiny. That's Chinuch. So, that's Chanuch Lanar. Right? That's also being Mechanuch HaBayis, Chanukas HaBayis, and Chanukas HaMizbeach. Right? This is how it embarks on its, its destiny. Amazing thing. Right. So that means like this, that Torah, right, is to the individual, right, like inaugurating is to the Mizbeach, to the Beis HaMikdash, right? That it's not to impart information. It's much bigger than that. Right? It is to now get connected to your destiny. Beforehand you were disconnected from your destiny. The chinuch is that, this is your function. This is what you were created for. This is what you were born for, right? That means that Torah is, has a different relationship to the Jew than, let's say, medicine has, for the doctor who studies it, right? Or, law to the lawyer who studies it, right? Torah is your destiny, which means you're not really who you are or were meant to be until you learn Torah. Just like if something's meant to be a shul, it's not a shul, or the mizbech's not a mizbech, until you have chinuch, right? That consecrates it as such. Right? An amazing thing. Right. So now, I want to also bring to your attention a very interesting Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim. In Chelek Rishon of the Moreh Nevuchim, it's a philosophical dictionary. One of the major agendas of the Moreh Nevuchim is how you can't take a lot of things in the Torah literally, particularly as it pertains to God. Right? You have to know how to take these, how they call it, anthropomorphisms, in stride, that it doesn't mean that it's dictionary meaning. Right? And the whole first third of the Moreh Nevuchim is a philosophical dictionary. It takes a term that has a well-known dictionary meaning that's quite physical, and explains how it also has non-physical meanings, right? Philosophical meanings. So in chapter 7, right? Yeled, right? So he says a very interesting idea. He says the term yeled also applies to ideas, Right? There's obviously to beget, you know, in the biological sense, right? But he alludes to the famous Chazal, Kol hamulamed ben chavero Torah ki'ilu yoldo. Right? Anyone who teaches his friend's son Torah, it's as if he gave birth to that kid who he taught Torah to. Right? You know, giving a person the way he thinks, you know, the way he looks at life, that's called to give birth to him also. All right, so now with this Rambam, by the way, you could understand, you know, a lot of Gemaras in Halacha also. As in Avos and Toldos, we have Lamites Avos Malachos, right? You know, like, you know, as let's give the examples the Rambam himself gives, you know, Tochein. So Tochein originally is, you know, to grind up grain, right? Or in the Mishkan, it was to grind up spices to make the dyes. But says the Rambam, you gotta abstract. Is the Rambam actually in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos? So it's Perek Zayin of the Mor Nevuchim, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos, easy way to remember. How these things all okay, it's amazing. Seven, right? The, you know, he says, you know, you got to think abstractly. You know, the idea of token is to take something whole and then make it small. So therefore, a tolda of token would be to take a clump of earth or a rock and to pulverize it. Right? You got to think, you know, the concept. So the av is the prototype, the original, and the tolda is the same concept. You know, it's the same concept. Another, you know, the concept takes a jump to another generation, but it's a transfer of the concept.
The earth is different than grinding wheat, because the earth, the only reason that it's a chunk of earth is because all the little things came together.
Yeah, everything's made out of molecules. You know that's.
Yeah, but all you're doing is bringing it back to its natural state.
Well, no, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about
grinding.
No, we're talking about a natural clump of earth that wasn't, you know.
You said a rock.
Pulverize
a rock.
A rock
is different than the air. And, you know, okay, and also in the Arba Avos Nezikin, right? So we're looking, philosophy. Keren, Kavanoso Lahazik. So anything that's Kavanoso Lahazik, even though it's not with a horn, like a kick, you know, it's a tolda of Keren, right? Shein, Yeshano Lezeko, that's the Av. Right, the tolda is nitchakha bakosa nasa, tinfa perisla nasa, you know, doing anything that it does out of pleasure. It's a tolda of shame. Rego, you know, it's, you know, hezeka matsui, it's anything that's just regular, you know, that goes by walking. You know, and then the end, the same thing, you know, esh, koch, achem, ruravba. So this Rambam is like this av tolda relationship that we find by the Avos Nezikin and that we find by the Avos and Tolda. Right? This Rambam decodes it. It's this. It's the next generation of the concept. It's not a physical begetting. Contrast that with the Avos HaTumah and the Toldas of Tumah. You know, the av, you know, is Tumas Meis, the Toldas, whatever it touches, right? That's over there, like a physical av tolda relationship, right? So this Rambam makes us aware, right, that the av tolda relationship, right, is also applies to ideas, right? But he takes it a step further. He says, and that's the pshat that, you know, Adam had plenty of kids, you know, not just you know, Cain, Hevel, and Chase. It says, Vayelet Bonim Ubonus, it says that. The difference that it says by Shase, which is a Rashi actually invoked, Rashi that we read not too long ago in Parshas Noso, Vayelet Ben Meir V'Shloshim Shona, Vayelet B'Demuso U'Betzalmo. That's when he begat in his tselem. And says the Rambam, this same parak in the Mor Nevuchim, right? Adam's other kids were not interested in his Torah. Right? He had Torah to teach, you know, what he understood, because he was Yitzir Kapov Shah Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was a Navi, you know, and his other kids were not interested in what he had to teach. So it's not called that they had the Tzelem of Adam. Right? Chase was willing to be a Talmud. Right? And because he was willing to be a Talmud, it's Vayol Bid Musa Bid Salmo. So it comes out that not only is to impart an idea, like to give birth, but that's only if the idea is internalized, and the kid takes it seriously. That's how the kid gets his Selim Elokim. It gets you out. He's B'Tselem, the person that gave him his deos, you know, the way he really thinks about things, the way he really feels about things, what he really believes. Right? Now, with this, you can understand something. Right? The whenever you open up a sugya in Shas, you see the term Ben Noach. What are we talking about?
A goy.
A goy. And what, Avraham Avinu hatched? You know? Where did Avraham Avinu come from? Right? And it's amazing. You know, it's like our yichus starts from Avraham Avinu. Right? Ain't called Lovis El Shlosha. Right? You know, we go back to Avraham Avinu, you know, and as if Noach is not our forefather. Right? When we talk about, you know, the Ben Noach, and it's another interesting thing. Whenever you see in the sugya Ben Noach, you're talking about the good guy. Right? The bad guy is called Akum. Right? Always. Dok v'tishkach. That's like the good guy. The good guy, and it's generally a pilpul in Hilchos B'nei Noach.
What about the,
what?
What about Nochri?
Yeah, Nochri is the bad guy. You know. Right? No, Ben Noach, that's it, you know, it's generally, you know, the Gemara is generally discussing, you know, a law, you know, a law abiding Ben Noach. What are halachas, you know, of a Ben Noach? Now, what? Yeah, right. Yeah, you're talking about the Ikra Sugis over there and the nuns over there. Yeah, Perakarva Mises. Right, correct. The all right. So now this Rambam really unravels that for us. You know that the decodes that for us, right? Because the goyim, they have a certain tzelem. Yeah, it says at the end of Parshat Noach, Shafech dam adam ba'adam damo yishafech ki betzelem kim asas adam. You know, it prohibits murder and abortion. Right? Oh, you're canceled now, Steve. It's going on the internet. Right? Abortion, you know, for the B'nai Noach is first degree murder.
That's
right. Right? And we're saying this in Steve Grill's house. Okay. Right. Right. It goes on OU.org. Anyway. So, Ki B'Tselmo Ki Masasadam. Right? It says it by the B'nai Noach. Right, so yeah, they have a tzelem, and that's why they're called. They have the tzelem of Noach. We have a different tzelem. You know, out here in Olam Hazeh, we have a different tzelem that came from Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. It took all three of them together, combined, to make the Jewish tzelem. That's why we have three of us and not just one. Right, it was a process that started with Avram and finalized with Yaakov Avinu, and really that tzelem is to be a comeback of what Adam's original tzelem was before he ate from the Eitz Hadas, right? And that's the secret that they're all buried together. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, because the three of us and their wives were in a mahalach to restore the original tzelem of Adam Arishan. Right? Now we're talking about the tzelem in Olam Hazeh, right? You know, right here. You know, we're not talking about, you know, our, you know, the way we're going to be, you know, after the resurrection. We're talking about right here, right now. We're B'nai Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You know, we have a different tzelem. We have a different destiny. Right, but that's what needs to be clarified. You know, there's not going to be any competition between us and them over there on the other side. You know, after the resurrection, because they're not going to be here, right? It's no competition. It's not, nothing to clarify, right?
No
we'll be the, what?
No
going. No going.
Yes.
No. 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 They don't come back as citizens, you know, in their own right. They come back in the words of the Ramchal, quoting from Ramchal in the Derech Hashem, section 2, chapter 4. They come back like a levush on Klal Yisrael. Like right now, you wear Armani suits.
Yeah.
If you'll be right. If you'll be wearing Armani. But if you weren't so good, you wear the Chinese guy that made the knockoffs, right?
You're
gonna
be wearing Italian.
There you go.
Okay.
Right. You go.
Made in China.
No, right? That's what it means.
A lot of labos there. A lot of clothing over there.
All right. And that's what it means. You know, we find throughout, first of all, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Goy Echad. Right? Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Or Shmini Atzeres Parachad, Ayel Echad, Keneged Uma Yechida. which by the way, Shmini Atzeres Rome is on the 8th millennium, which is the dawn of Olam Haba. You know, Shita Alfeishin Havei Alma, V'chad Choruv, L'Sof El Shon Kosh Chozim Chadash Olamo, and that's what Shmini Atzeres Maram is on the 7 days of Sukkot. It's the 7 millennia, right? 6, and then, you know, 7th, it's closed for renovations. The 8th millennium is, you know, Kosh Chozim Chadash Olamo. And there's only one nation there at that time. That's always all these illusions that Am Yisrael's Goy Echad Ba'aretz or Uma Yechida. It's talking about the one nation that was always meant to be and will be, you know, yeah, when everything else is weeded out. But here's the thing, you know, they're we're not just talking about Olam Haba, you know, our being special. Our being special is right here in this world, right? Within this world, right? So of course, you know, to a certain extent, we have to withdraw, right? And you know, be kovea itim latara, which by the way, kovea itim latara means. That during this time, you know, anyone could call you with like the most incredible, you're not available, even for all the money in the world. That's what Kovei Itim Latara means, you know, to do it right. And, you know, so you try to learn as much as you can. Kovei Itim is that a person should make it, that there's a certain amount of time that come hell or high water, I learn during this time, right? And nothing will ever deter me. You know, otherwise, now, the Sag, of course, shows that you're anchored to the Torah, but there's also something very important that the Chafetz Chaim points out in one of his, and in a set of Sorim called Meir Einei Yisrael, I saw it, it's in volume 6. You know, he says a very frightening thing. You know, in Olam Haba, right, you know, when they, you know, they settle up with you, whatever you're owed, right, you know, they kind of let you set your rates, right? So, like, you know, a guy comes to you and say, listen, I know you're learning now, but I'll give you $50 to handle this thing for me. I'm learning now. You know, I can't, right? All right, I get it, 75. Oh, please, I just said I'm learning. All right, 100. All right, deal, right? Right, which means that you valued your Torah learning as worth $99 an hour, right? So if you go to Olam Haba, you want to get paid for all the Torah learning that you did. So, well, remember that business deal and that one? You thought you were a genius? Well, at the rate of, if it was $99 for every hour of learning, you got paid. You got paid already. Right? Now, of course, a person can't be learning full time. That's a very important, the great importance of Kvias Itim LaTorah is to, you know, because we're human, we have to go to work, we have to do our stuff. It should be one time a day where you give Torah its your full undivided attention and value it for what it's real, that it's worth Olam Haba, which is worth more than anything Olam Hazeh can ever pay. And that's why it's very, very, very important to have not just learn X amount of hours a week, but at certain set times, that during those times, the phone's off, no distractions, you know, no one can reach you. It might be $1 million deal, makes no difference, right? And that's, you know, and that's very important. It doesn't have to be, you could set it at 3 a.m., right? So like the Nisoyon won't be that great, but whatever, that's the great importance of Kvias Itim Torah. That's what they really ask, what they mean when they ask you, when you go up to Shemaim, Kavata Itim LaTorah. Because that shows that, you know, that you had an opportunity to show that Torah is invaluable, right? Okay, so, you know, but then there's, you know, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu within Olam Hazeh, right? And that's the function of the kahuna, right? The idea of the kahuna, you know, there is no kahuna in Olam Haba, because there's no avoda in Olam Haba, right? Mitzvah is only in this world, which includes all the avoda of korbanos and all the stuff that the kohanim do. Now, you know, by Matan Torah, we're all called mamleches kohanim. We're all called, in generally speaking, a nation of priests. And at that time, every family could have a kohen. The bechor, the petarechem, would have been the kohen. Every family would have had a kohen, right? It's because of cheta ego. There you go. Right, and because of Chet Ego, it got moved to Shevet Levi, but that was like a knas, you know, that was, right? But, and so now, ask yourself, Yaakov was, you know, he was learning Torah, he was Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, you know, from the get-go, good boy. What did he buy off Esav? Tera, he was learning. He was sitting in the oil. He was totally unengaged in any earthly pursuits. Esav was an ish sadeh, a man of the field, like his father, Yitzchak. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. And that's why Yitzchak constantly, you know, tzei asadeh, re'rechli kareach asadeh asher berchu Hashem, because Yitzchak is into avodah, right? He's the amud ha'avodah. Now, the man himself was a living carbon. He's into avodah. Avodah is only in this world. Hayom la'asosam. Machal kabel scharam, right? And like the Gemara says, its own drush on its own statement. Hayom la'asosam v'lo machal la'asosam. It's only mitzvahs. You only get your chance here. There's no mitzvahs there, right? Machal kabel scharam, and not hayom la'kabel scharam. Schar mitzvahs by al malekah, right? So Yaakov was already only sitting in, you know, in the ish tam yosheva, sitting in the base marriage of shame ve'ever, just learning Torah all day. Esav was the ish sadeh. What was Esav supposed to be? He was the Bechorah. I mean, it was born from him. What came with the Bechorah? The Kahuna. The Kahuna. So even though Yaakov is the holy guy just learning Torah all day, but Yaakov is like in Olam Haba in his own lifetime, in a certain way. But Esav is the, you know, who's the Ish Sadeh, which represents this world, right? He's the Kohen. Yaakov doesn't trust him to do his job, right? So he buys him out. Right. But the original division was, Yaakov would be Kulo Tera, which is more Olam, if you're 100% Tera with no earthly pursuits, like you're an Olam Haba in your own lifetime, which is important. We need an anchor there. We're an interesting people. We have strong roots, but our anchor is to our future. We're anchored to our destiny, and it's something very unique about the Jewish people. We have a destiny that we're anchored to, right? Kol Yisrael Shem Chelk Olam Haba. And Yaakov would have served that anchor to our great future. But Esav was the Kohen. Esav, the man of this world, that's what the Kuna is. You don't have Kuna in Olam Haba. The opportunity to serve, right? And by the same token, they have a traditional role of being the Mechanchim. Yoru Mishpatech Yaakov v'Torasch Yisrael, says the parasha, that they're going to teach. They were always going to be the teachers. And that doesn't mean they'll necessarily be the biggest Tamirei Chachamim, but they had a role of being teachers. That means they're mashpia Torah to the Am. They put Torah into the people in this world. So the coin represents Kedusha manifest in this world, right? To apply Torah to this world. That is the function of the coin, right? Right? And that's the secret that the Yevonim, who thought that they actualized human perfection in this world, went head to head with the Kohanim. The antithesis of the Yevonim, the Yevonim, if we just said, look, guys, we got Olam Haba, you guys got Olam Hazeh, they wouldn't have been upset. Is that we were talking about having Kedusha and Olam Hazeh, having a certain level of human perfection and a higher human form here, now, and they couldn't take that. And that was the jealousy, that's right. The Beis HaMikdash, where we do the Avodah, which represented that, they had to defile it, right?
And it's an Esav Yaakov.
Exactly. Correct. It comes out right after Yaakov bought out Esav and took over the Kahuna, which is Kedusha in Olam Hazeh. Having a Tzelem Elokim here, right here, right now. Not just in the future post-resurrection. It would just be, after the resurrection, say, okay, listen, you guys believe in that bill of goods, that's fine. No, we're just saying, we have Kedusha here. We have a higher human form here. We have a higher level. We've achieved a higher level of human perfection here. Right? And that's why it was Dafka the Kohanim who were against the Yevonim, right? The message of what is the best life in Olam Hazeh, what is called human perfection here and now. Here. The best way to live, the best to be, the best human being you can be. And now, and that's what gets clarified, that the Shechina, which is in the base mirror, the Shechina, divine presence will dwell with us in Olam Hazeh, right? Not that, of course, Olam Haba is holy, but you have the Shechina, Shore B'Yisrael, even in Olam Hazeh, so the Shechina is only going to be Shore, right, by the most perfect people, not by the less perfect, and that's what the Yevonim couldn't take, that's why they defiled the base of Mikdash. Right, the Shechina from the higher is dwelling in Olam Hazeh by them. That means they've attained a higher level of human perfection than we have. Right, something that our philosophy and our arts, can't get to. Right? And that's what gets clarified by Chanukah Sabayis, that, you know, that which also means also another thing, chinuch, you know, to go back to the words of the Reclaimist Common of Pia Setzner.
Which goes back to Yaakov and Esau, that they were going to teach and not just learn.
Yeah. Yeah, except that, you know, Yaakov now had to take over the role that Esav was failing to do, because he bought him out, and that's why he had to marry Leah. He had to marry his Zivug. He bought him out of the Jewish people. So now he had to take over his role and marry the woman he was meant to marry, and Yaakov has to carry now both roles, right? Correct. So now, the... So chinuch, that means also another thing, that the Torah that we learn becomes a part of us. It perfects our human form. As per the words of the Rambam that we quoted before, Sheis was called by Yod B'dmuso, he had a tzelem, because he learned the Torah of Adam Rishon. And that's why the term chinuch also applies to Limud HaTorah. Right? It becomes a part of you, it becomes assimilated with you, it gives you a tzelem. Right, so now we'll go back and understand what had to be clarified. What had to be clarified, you know, at the time when the Shechina was put in the midst of Klal Yisrael, it was put in the midst of Klal Yisrael, Bederech Keva, with the building of the Mishkan. Beforehand, there was the great revelation of Sinai, but that revelation ceased. Right, we're bringing back that revelation to be institutionalized within the Jewish people. So we have to clarify that the Jewish people are the ones that are destined, you know, to and are cut out for this great role of having the divine Shekhinah from above dwell within them, even in Olam Hazeh. So it starts off, well, everyone agrees it starts with Adam, the original Tzelem Elokim. So we have the first Karas Kazad, all the years that Adam lived, because even after he succumbed, there was never anyone as perfect as Adam who was created by God himself, the whole 930 years. Okay. Next step is Noach. You know, we say it's 520, but it's 500 and then the 20 beforehand of Gzeras HaMavo. 500, well, so now Noach's not as perfect as Adam himself. But he did, as we say in Yeshivish, shtelavek, right? He set up, you know, the tzura of the B'nai Noach that endured. He was 500 years old when he had kids, meaning when he gave over his tzelem, the tzelem of the B'nai Noach, the good guy, he was 500 years old when he managed to make that, you know, big tikkun of creating a certain type of humanity that would endure after the Mabul, right? And that's the significance that 20 years beforehand, the Mabul was decreed. He managed, after the Mabul had already been decreed for 20 years, he managed to create a type of humanity that deserves to survive the Mabul, right? Nothing small. But here's but it goes deeper than that. You know, in that same pasuk, Rashi says, as I explained in the pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis, Lo Yedun Ruchi Barim Lom B'Shagamu Basar, I'm not contending with man. Forever he's got 120 years, for he is flesh. Says the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, Moshe min HaTorah Minayin B'Shagam Hu Basar. From that pasuk of the Gezeras HaMabul is a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu, who by no coincidence himself was in a teva, yeah, when he was a kid, which an amazing thing, right? The Goyim could have a good taina, we're just as human, you know, and much of a tzelem as you guys, the Jews, because we survived the Mabul, right? If we were subhuman, we would have been wiped out with the Mabul, right? The tzelem of the B'nai Noach endured the Mabul, right? So we say, yeah, but when Hashem decreed the Mabul, he didn't have you guys in mind. He had Moshe Rabbeinu in mind. You guys were just a stepping stone. And it's called that the Mabul was still really happening until Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene. That's Ki Min HaMayim Mishisiyu. I've pulled him above the water. This is fine to get past the Mabul. Because the whole tachlis of the B'nai Noach was not as a goal in their own right, but, you know, that, you know, 20 generations later, you know, or so, right, out comes Moshe Rabbeinu. He's called Ki Min HaMayim Mishisiyu, and that's also the secret that Yetzias ends with all the Mitzrayim being drowned. That's really when the Mabul's really over. It wasn't over for the sake of the B'nai Noach. It was really over for the sake of the B'nai Yisrael, you know, who are under the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what I say. So that's, so we're going through all the generations and clarifying that all the, and then Shivim Umos that came from Noach, all of that, you know, we're clarifying that the Shekhinah is not by them, not by them, not by them, not by them, right? It has to be Dafka by us, the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the ones who received the Torah. But you know what? There's only one big pagam in this. Chet Egel was, you know, was bad. You know, but you know what the biggest pagam was? Mechiras Yosef. because we say the Jewish tzelem, the Jewish tzelem, right? You know, this is the chosen tzelem that's supposed to have the Shekhinah dwell upon it, right? The chosen tzelem that could absorb the whole Torah, not just seven mitzvahs, but Tariag mitzvahs, right? We were pogam that tzelem the most by selling Yosef, because that tzelem was supposed to be contained by 12 tribes, right? You know, we go from Avos to Shvatim, right? It's supposed to be 12. When they sold Yosef, they did an amazing, that's what it means that Rashi said, they involved the Shekhinah. They were trying to re-engineer, or like they say, reimagine, right? The Jewish people with only 11 tribes. It's a frightening thing. And that was the biggest pagam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted 12 tribes. The Shekhinah should be Shorah on 12 tribes, not just 11. And that's why, in Parshas Vayigash. So Vayefkal Tzavarei Binyamin, uBinyamin Bachal Tzavarov, he cries on the necks of Binyamin, and Binyamin cries on his neck. So Rash said, how many necks did Binyamin have? So it's a remiss to the Batei Mikdashos, the two Batei Mikdashos in the Chelek of Binyamin, you know, and Harabais in the Chelek of Binyamin, and the Mishkan Shiloh, that was in the Chelek of Yosef, right? It was very precedent then that the Shekhinah is not going to sit well in Am Yisrael until a lot of tikkunim. There's going to be Chorban Abayis, and that was because of the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. That was the biggest pagam in the Jewish Tzelem, is that we tried to cut out a living limb from it, making it like a Baal Mum. All right, so that's why Dafka by the Chanukah, so we read Chanukah always comes out during the Parshas of Mechiras Yosef, and that's still a tikkun that we have to make, that the Shekhinah should be firmly affixed, you know, in our midst, and be stably applied, you know, should be b'mehera b'yameinu. But that's the inyan of the laning that we do, the Chanukah that was then, which had a comeback in the days of Chashmonaim, clarifying that, you know, we, even in this world, we have a different tzelem, we have a different destiny, we have a different form of humanity, right? You know, and it's not the pshat that the Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we do is like casino chips, which I don't even know what those things are, that you go in and you trade them in at the end for dollars. You know, our mitzvahs like chips, we trade it. No. It's chinuch, right? The Torah that we learn and the mitzvahs that we do are a part of us and perfect our tzelem. And of course, in Olam HaBaz, where we get paid for it, but in Olam HaZeh, it is surely adding to our human perfection and hopefully, you know, making us the Adam that Hashem had in mind when he said, Nas Adam. L'chaim, l'chaim.